This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be about warranties. I am joined by barrister Rebecca Jones from 23 Essex Street Chambers in London. Rebecca is highly regarded by lay and professional clients alike for her down-to-earth approach and her commercially focused advice. She advises and appears in a broad range of commercial matters, and she has a particular experience in litigation concerning warranties. Rebecca is also frequently involved in the delivery of internal and external seminars, including speaking in conferences held by the local law society. Rebecca, it's lovely to see you on my screen. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Morning, everybody. Thank you very much for having me, Hattie. It's nice to be back on.
It is always a pleasure. So, warranties. When buying goods in the UK, we're familiar with the terms warranty and guarantee, and many of us often use the name guarantee and warranty interchangeably. However, there are differences. Essentially, both warranties and guarantees are designed to protect us from receiving faulty goods, damaged or unfit for purpose goods. We also have statutory rights that apply to everything we buy, and statutory rights are implied rights set by the law, which are your minimum guaranteed rights under the law. So they always apply and overrule the retailer's policies. But let's talk about warranties and guarantees, Rebecca, and let's talk about what is different about those two. So how is a manufacturer's warranty different to a guarantee, please?
So I think this is a really good question to start on, because the terms are often used, as you say, interchangeably between one another. Starting with a manufacturer's warranty, that is a bit like an insurance policy. So it's a bit like cover for an item you have purchased. And in essence, if there is a fault with it and that fault is covered by the warranty, you can get in touch and they will look to investigate and repair or replace as necessary. It's generally going to cover things like, you know, a particular failure with a part or a breakdown with an item. They can be a bit more extensive than guarantees, which I'll talk about in a moment, but that isn't always the case. And sometimes with a warranty, they may only cover you for market value. And the key thing with all of these types of things is it's going to depend on what the terms actually say. And that document that you've got is going to be all important.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't a document be important in the law? It's all about the documentation. Absolutely. Yeah.
Always. And that's why it's so important. You know, if you're making, I mean, if you're making any purchase, it's always important to look at everything before you do and keep all your paperwork. But, you know, particularly with any sort of bigger purchases, it's even more important because there's more at stake if something's to go wrong. In terms of a guarantee, they're usually free, and quite often a warranty isn't. Quite often you might have to pay a price for a warranty, but a guarantee, they're normally free and they'll be included, as I said, within the price. And that really is a promise as to the quality of the product. So in essence, the person or the manufacturer is saying nothing is going to go wrong with this product for, say, 12 months. And if it does, we'll make sure that you get a replacement, or we'll repair it, or, we'll sort it out, basically. So really, it's a promise as to how that item is going to be for that period of time. Sometimes you can get guarantees from the manufacturer but sometimes you can also get them from the retailer. So that's another thing to really look out for. And certain retailers will offer you different guarantees as well. I've obviously don't want to name any particular names, but there's a particular high street retailer department store who will generally offer you a better guarantee than other retailers. So as well as your manufacturer's guarantee, you can also get a guarantee from your retailer. So make sure you look at that beforehand. And why, again, that can be important is sometimes it's easier to go through the retailer than the manufacturer, because the retailer will just essentially claim it back from the manufacturer. So that's a kind of key difference between the two. One thing to note in particular for a guarantee, though, is you may have to register it when you get your goods.
Yes.
So they might come with that little card or a piece of paper saying, please make sure you do that. Obviously, make sure you do that.
Yes, no, indeed. The amount of little cards I've completed, because sometimes you can go online and do it. They say, register your product. And essentially what they mean by that is when you register your product, so you normally, if it's got a serial number or an identification number, you register to say, this item with this serial number or identification number was purchased on this day from this retailer and it belongs to this person, i.e. you, and then you put your details in so that your manufacturer's warranty and guarantee is registered with the actual manufacturer, in order that if you turn up and say, oh, I don't have my receipt, but did you register your product? They can normally backtrack it to where it was purchased from, and help you out that way. So that is really, really key. And I have to say, whenever I've done that, you always feel like a bit of a nerd filling those out. I've always felt like that, because I thought these things come in the boxes or packets or packaging. And, you know, you're sometimes so excited when you bought something new, that all goes in the bin. Oh, what's that? It's just the card that says register what you've bought with the manufacturer. And lots of people don't do it. And I never used to do it. But in my older years, let's just say, Rebecca, I do it. And I feel very nerdy, but I'm very grateful, because I have had to use manufacturers' warranties before, and those cards have been invaluable, because when you call up the manufacturer, who most of the time I've literally just googled the contact details for, and you give them your address and your name, and they know it, they know everything about your product, because you've registered it. So let's
just actually, yes, just mention one other point as well, from a safety recall point,
yes,
it's also really important to fill those out, particularly I'm thinking white goods, anything like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
If you filled that in, they can obviously get in touch with you as well that way. So it's always another reason really to fill those in.
That's a really, really good point. I mean, I think we've all over the years heard of, this washing machine doesn't work, or that dryer's been recalled, or a fridge. And as you said, particularly with white goods, but it's very, very key, because you're absolutely right. Then the manufacturer can find you and find out that you've actually got one, because you may not have seen or had sight of the news bulletin or the newspaper report that says these items have been recalled. Very, very key. So something's gone wrong. You need to enforce your manufacturer's warranty or guarantee, or you need to rely on it, let's say, probably the best term. How do you enforce your manufacturer's guarantee and warranty? What would be the first steps, Rebecca?
Well, I think the first step is for you to get that document, that all-important document that we mentioned before. Have a read through that. Make sure you're completely familiar with what the warranty or the guarantee covers. And then get in touch with the manufacturer. Obviously, you've just mentioned there, you can just Google. You should be able to find all the details online. Sometimes it's on the document itself. Then when you get in touch with them, just provide as much detail as you can. They're probably going to ask for some evidence, so you may have to send photographs or something like that. My sort of top tip would just be, be nice and cooperate, and just, if they ask for anything, just make sure you provide it, because it's in your interest really for them, to have as much information as possible to hopefully honour the warranty or the guarantee. Obviously, then you'll have to see what they say about it. If they reject it, then obviously you're going to have a think. you're going to again go back to the document, see why they're rejecting it. Do you think that the reason they're rejecting it is one that they're actually entitled to? You know, have they said, you know, we don't think this is covered because of X, Y, Z in the policy? You know, do you think that is fair?
I think the other thing to say is, if you don't have your document, if you don't have their T's and C's, ask for a copy. So yes. Say to them, and ask for a copy of the T's and C's as at the date of your purchase, because terms and conditions can change and do sometimes change. And I think it's important to say, look, if you haven't got the terms and conditions to hand of the, you know, attached to the receipt of the item that you purchased, say to the retailer, the manufacturer, can I please have the terms and conditions as they were, as of whatever it was, the month and year of your purchase? And a key point, I totally agree with you. I had to learn that the hard way, Rebecca, where in my early and younger days of my life, should I say, when something went wrong with the product, I'd go in all guns blazing like a bull in a china shop and think, well, you know, really upset, this has gone wrong, why is this, haven't paid all this money? But as experience has taught me, the nicer I have become and more cooperative I have become when there has been issues, actually, the much better result I have got. And it's not always the case that the retailer or the manufacturer is trying to fob you off. It's not always the case. And good customer services departments do exist. And then, you know, people do try to go out of their way to help you.
Yes, definitely. One of the things my dad always used to say to me is, if you ask somebody, can you help me? It's an inherent thing in human nature, is that we always want to help, isn't it? So I always think that's the best way to sort of start that
sound advice.
And I also think, you know, remember, say this doesn't work out as you want it to work out, and you may end up thinking about, you know, pursuing a legal case, which I'm sure we'll talk about. You know, these bits of correspondence are potentially going to be before any court. So, you know, always think about that, you know, because that correspondence is going to go through the whole process potentially. And the same thing again in terms of, you know, providing evidence and stuff like that. You know, if they're asking at the time for the evidence and that's something that you're going to have to provide down the line, then obviously it's really important that you've provided everything to them at the time. And your point there, really important, you know, if you don't have your warranty or your guarantee, then ask for the one that was in force at that time. And as you say, they do change and they do update, but they should, the manufacturer should have that copy there, and they should be able to provide it for you. If you still sort of don't have any luck, then obviously you can maybe try and seek some legal advice. So you can try and get in touch with the Citizens Advice. They're quite good with this sort of thing. Or, you know, potentially you could look to get legal advice from a solicitor. One thing to potentially always bear in mind, and I anticipate, Hattie, you may have covered this in a podcast before, is the small claims process that we have. I can see you nodding, so I'm sure there may be a small claims podcast out
we have there. So, we recorded it with HMCTS, making a small online money claims, which we've done two episodes for, actually. And there is other ways as well, also with the Ombudsman, and I've got the website address to give a little bit. But no, yeah. I think there's some key points that have been raised there. You know, be as friendly as you can, even though you may be very upset that your item has gone wrong. Provide as much information as you can, because if you do end up making a complaint to, for example, the Ombudsman, or issuing an online claim for it, or going to seek help from a solicitor or from a direct access barrister, let's not forget that, Rebecca. And Rebecca is a direct access barrister, which means the public can access her services directly through her chambers without having to go through a solicitor's firm. Then everything you have produced to the manufacturer or the retailer will become a point of evidence and information. There's no point in refusing to give the manufacturer or the retailer any evidence, because it will only help them try to settle your matter. And if you do go along to make a complaint to the Ombudsman, or you go along to take any legal action, and you don't disclose information, that's not a good place to be, because then they can say, well, if we had this information, of course we would have settled this warranty or guarantee claim. So I think they're really key points. But I want to move on to our next point, in that, what can somebody do if the warranty is run out, however, they're still having the same issues that existed with their goods whilst the product was still in warranty. And let's assume here that the manufacturer or the retailer attempted to fix these issues and say they were temporarily fixed, warranty runs out. Because this is a really common problem, Rebecca. I've actually had this personally on a few occasions with some items. And then your warranty's run out. You call back the, you know, you call the manufacturer back up and say, look, this problem's come back again. It's the same issue. Where do you stand? What can you do?
So I think one point to really try and, you know, hammer home is that if you have a problem with an item, report it straight away. Because, you know, I know it was a slightly different scenario that you've just mentioned, but say you have a problem and then your warranty lapses and then you want to make a complaint. Well, you're going to have difficulties there showing that the fault appeared during the terms of your warranty because you may not have any evidence. So it's, you know, they're not going to necessarily accept if you say, yeah, it's faulty now, and it was faulty when it was still within warranty. So I think it is really important to get in touch as soon as that happens. And also, it depends on the terms of the warranties, but sometimes there may be a term within the warranty that says you have to report any fault within, you know, 30 days, for example, or that you must report any fault within the warranty. In terms of the situation that you're talking about, which is whereby they have attempted to fix something and or potentially replace something and then the issue continues
or has come back, or the issue has come back, yeah,
the issue has come back, yeah, particularly if they've looked to repair it and then the issue has come back. I would again, you know, get in touch with them, say that this was an issue that came to life essentially within the period of the warranty and that it should therefore still be covered, and see where you get to with that, really. Again, I anticipate it may depend on the terms of the warranty. If they say, well, you know, the warranty ends then, there may be some difficulties with that. But I think the key thing is going to be you trying to establish that there was, you know, that this fault really did exist within the terms of the warranty.
I mean, I'm just taking this to the nth degree. So you're sitting in court in front of a judge, and no one can guess what a judge is going to say, because if we could do that, then we'd be very, very clever people. But you're saying, you're arguing, I had this problem whilst the product was still in warranty. The manufacturer attempted to fix it, did fix it, but it came back shortly. And I'm not talking years later. I'm talking within a reasonable period of time. This issue came back again. And now the manufacturer is saying, we're not going to fix it because you're out of warranty. I mean, what do you think, Rebecca, the chances are of a court saying actually to the manufacturer, that's a good point. You can't walk away from an issue that existed within a reasonable amount of time while the product was still in warranty. I mean, I would say my sort of common sense tells me that a court should really be lenient towards the consumer and say to the manufacturer, no, it wasn't put, yes, you temporarily put it right, but it didn't last for long enough out of warranty with the same issue coming back, making that product effective.
Yes, so really, I think the point is you're going to be have to trying to show that that is the defect that existed within the terms of the warranty. It obviously depends on what the particular goods are, but quite often when you're in a, you know, you've taken the manufacturer to court, you're going to probably have some sort of expert evidence. So that will come from maybe somebody who, you know, you've been in touch with who says this is what I think the fault is with the item, somebody generally independent who will be able to actually give a bit more information. And I think in those circumstances, you know, the court is probably going to want to have some evidence to know really what the fault is and if it is the same fault that existed within. And I think if that was the case, one would hope the court would have some sympathy.
Yes.
But it's always very difficult to say, because on the flip side, you know, the court may not want a situation whereby essentially a manufacturer is going to be liable for a particularly lengthy period when the terms of the warranty, you know, said, well, we're only going to cover you for this period of time. So it's about balancing those interests. And I would have thought really in that scenario, you're going to want to have some evidence, as I say, from sort of an expert who can really tell you what the fault is and whether it really existed within that time.
Great. Okay, so let's talk about what is often excluded from a manufacturer's warranty. And I know it obviously it depends on the item, but generally speaking, what could we say about that, Rebecca?
So the sort of things that may not be covered, you know, obviously any damage that you do to them, so by dropping it or so
accidental
by...
or all of that kind of stuff. Yeah,
I mean, so some warranties do cover that, but it just very much depends on the terms. But yeah, the sort of things that you have done to it. But I think probably one of the most key things that is often excluded from a manufacturer's warranty is fair wear and tear. And it's a really tricky one, because, you know, you say, well, I've had this item not very long and now it's not working very well. And they will say, well, actually, we think you've had it a reasonable length of time. And, you know, if it's not working, that's just because you've been using it and there you go. As I sort of mentioned a moment ago, in those sort of situations, again, you might be looking to get somebody to look at the item really and say what they think is wrong with it and what they think's occurred, and that may persuade the manufacturer to pay out in that regard.
It is one of those arguments, isn't it? What is fair wear and tear, and perceptions often can be very, very different. But I mean, I think, you know, I think sometimes we've just got to be a little bit honest on that point, because I have looked at sometimes some items that I own and think, well, no, I haven't had it that long, or I haven't used it that much. But if I stand back and try and look at it as an independent, I might kind of think a bit different to that. But no, I get it. I mean, what I would say is, you know, again, just try and be reasonable about things, and it's always good to get a second opinion within your own circle as well, just to say, look, this is what I've got, this is what's happened. What do you think? Do you think that's unreasonable for me to kind of, you know, have this argument? But I mean, what can we do if a manufacturer's warranty claim is refused? We've already mentioned that there, you know, there's a few avenues of assistance. I mean, I would say don't be fobbed off, because the Consumer Rights Act means any product you buy must be of satisfactory quality, fit for purpose, and as described. And we've already mentioned that, you know, people can get assistance from several places. And I was saying about the Financial Ombudsman Service, their website is financial-ombudsman.org.uk. But what, you know, what's the first thing that somebody should look to do if they're in warranty, claim is refused, and we are taking, you know, making an assumption here that there's no, it's not about wear and tear and things like that?
So just picking up very briefly on a point that you've mentioned there in terms of the Consumer Rights Act. Obviously, the Consumer Rights Act and your manufacturer's guarantees and warranties, they kind of run parallel to one another. So your Consumer Rights Act protection, that's going to be against the retailer who sold you the goods. And that's, you know, an option that you have. But sort of aside from that is your manufacturer's warranty and guarantee. And that is obviously a contract with the manufacturer themselves.
And I just want to say that's a really important point, Rebecca, because it took me a few years to work that out in my own head before. So your statutory consumer rights are against the retailer, the company that sold you the product, not the actual manufacturer. And I think it's important that we understand the clear definition there.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, there's kind of merits to trying to get your money back from both people. And, you know, the protection under the Consumer Rights Act is obviously, as you've mentioned, the sort of three things, that the key things, which is fit for purpose, satisfactory quality, and as described. So that's sort of one thing that you can look to, you know, argue about if you're having an issue with the product. But that's a different sort of type of protection. Then this kind of, as I said, they run alongside. That's the manufacturer's guarantee and warranty. That's something that when the manufacturer produces the product, you know, within that and within the price, or sometimes, you know, you might have to pay a little bit more for the insurance type warranty matters, you're getting some extra protection. And it just means that really you've got these two avenues to look at when you're deciding what you want to do about, you know, some goods that are faulty. So in terms of if you've been in touch with the manufacturer and the claim is refused, I think your first port of call really is to potentially seek some advice. It's really going to come down to, I guess, the costing of the item. You know, if this is a particularly expensive item that you've purchased, and I think, Hattie, we may have to do another podcast on this, but say, for example, a car.
Yes, that's warranties and cars, because I was saying to you, wasn't I, before we press record today, when we were researching this topic, the amount of car warranty issues that happen, the numbers, the statistics are huge. I mean, some websites actually list the best cars and the worst cars to buy at the moment, which I found really interesting. But we will touch on that another podcast. Sorry. Okay, let's carry on.
So, you know, but I guess the point to note really is that, you know, if you're dealing with something like a big ticket item, like a car, you know, making sure that what has happened, you know, it is fair, and or, you know, or potentially trying to get some money back is going to be a sort of, I don't want to say more important, because, you know, that isn't right. Everything you want to purchase, you want to work well, but I guess it's going to be a bigger issue. So that's maybe perhaps when you definitely want to be taking some advice. You know, if it is perhaps a smaller item, then get in touch with the CAB. Other things to do, there are lots of great websites out there where you can get template letters that you can send across to them, and, you know, you can basically give them one final opportunity to
resolve the matter. Yes.
Yeah. And then if not, you can, as I mentioned, look to commence legal proceedings. One thing I think is always good to remember, though, is that you do have a duty to keep your losses to a minimum. So just because you think there's a fault there with this particular item, you know, you can't just go off and get the most expensive repair for that. You know, you do have to, what we call in law, mitigate your losses.
No, indeed. If your item costs £100 and you go and get a repair for £250, that commercially doesn't even add up either. But we have got very little time, and I really want to discuss this point because you know, I've come across it so many times over the years, whether I'm buying an item that's, you know, £50 in value or sometimes more. Extended warranty. What is an extended warranty? Let's talk about that, Rebecca, quickly.
So that's, again, just another way of getting some extra protection for your item. So it goes beyond the standard warranty. Generally, you see them on sort of white goods or electrical items. They are all optional, and I think it is really important to sort of remember that, because there can be, you know, I don't want to say pressure, that might be a slight exaggeration, but there can be scenarios where you feel like you have to purchase this, but, you know, you don't. They are optional, and I think sometimes it's good to consider whether it's actually something you really need. It may be something that's covered by your home insurance or, you know, another insurance policy. So it's always good to actually see really if it's something you need, and think about the economics of it as well. You know, if you're going to be continuing to pay that cost for that period, what's actually the cost to replace the item if something goes wrong beyond that period? Because, you know, it becomes a point where it's kind of false economy, because you are you know, potentially paying more than what it's going to be worth as a whole.
No, I agree, and I think it's really important to be clear that extended warranties from a retailer do not always cover everything that a manufacturer's warranty does. And you know, when I looked into this many years ago, I thought, well, why am I paying so much more if this extended warranty is not going to cover everything that the original warranty is going to cover? So I think it's really important to remember that. But you made some great points there, Rebecca, because it's true. If you buy something for £100 and then, you know, these extended warranties, when I've certainly been offered them, and they have normally been on electrical items, they're quite expensive. And as you say, if you've had good use of it because your warranty has taken you 2 years or 3 years down the line, and then you're thinking, well, do I want to go and extend it, have a warranty and pay a lot more to have another 3 years, or will I be ready to change it, and what's the cost of changing it? Commerciality and those kind of points should definitely, definitely come into your consideration on an extended warranty.
And I think just perhaps with one final thing.
Yes, please.
Just very briefly.
Yes.
Obviously, remember as well, if you're outside of your manufacturer's warranty or guarantee, you do still have those consumer protection rights against the retailer that we mentioned before. And in terms of those sort of rights, just very briefly, but again, we're probably straying into another podcast, you get 6 years from when you purchase the item to bring any claim. Now, that doesn't mean that the products are guaranteed for 6 years, obviously. What that basically means is that you have 6 years from the date you purchased, and it's all going to again come down to how long that item potentially should have lasted for, etc., etc.
I definitely think that's a podcast worth doing, Rebecca, because everyone's thinking, oh, does that mean, and you did mention it, that you, does it mean your warranty and your guarantee will last that long? But you have got that time and that time limit, so to speak, if something really grossly has gone wrong and the manufacturer is just absolutely refusing to you know, assist you and deal with that. But what a great podcast, Rebecca. Thank you so much for your time today.
It was lovely to chat.
It goes so quickly, doesn't it? It really just goes faster. I was sitting here thinking, well, that I want to discuss that. But that's why we've got part, this is season two, and that's why we do season three, and there'll be season four, and there'll be lots of seasons. But thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks again, Hattie.
And what I'll say to our listeners is, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.